Will you turn with me to the book of Psalms then, and to Psalm 91, and we'll read that psalm and think upon it for a short time tonight. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, thine habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The psalms we've been singing, as well as this one, brings home to us the protection which the Lord assures and gives to his people for their survival through this world, and ultimately to be with him in glory. But as we live here, we are conscious, Christian is conscious, just of how vulnerable we are. And together, the church is exposed to the devil's work, seeking to make havoc amongst us. The way in which he will use any and every means, trying to thwart and neutralize the work that the Lord has given to his church and to his people. We're told about the resources, the experience, the ability of the enemy of our souls. And when we realize who and what we're up against, sometimes the question comes, well, how can we possibly survive? We haven't gone very far, perhaps, in our interest in the Lord, nor will we be very long in our service of His name, standing, speaking, serving, in any kind or any way that is public. We won't be very long in that area, but soon we will attract the attention of the devil. And his attack against God's people and the church is so varied. From time to time, the devil might come with a softly approach to us, coming beside and whispering and seeking to lower our defense so that his temptation might be all the more acceptable to us. That softly approach. On the other hand, it might come with that full blast and all the smell of the pit about it, with no disguising of its intent, but with all of the forces of darkness behind, seeking to overwhelm and to overthrow us. It'll come in one direction at a moment, and then, if we have successfully thwarted it, it'll come very quickly from another direction. The devil can come through the front door of our lives, and can there speak with and try to tempt us. But whenever we close the door in his face, very quickly the devil can be at the back door of our minds, seeking to gain entry and to spoil or thwart us. And it's not without significance that Paul, when he speaks in Romans 12, draws attention to the need we have of having our minds renewed, molded, guarded, the way in which Paul focuses upon the mind, because the mind holds the truth. In our mind, we make assessments of ourselves against that truth. And with the ability of the mind as God has given it to us, we come to conclusions as to where we are, where we're going, about things that are right and things that are wrong. The mind, just reading about Bartimaeus, and again, I'm surprised it hasn't come up in the questions we've got, but Bartimaeus is the only one of the people whom the Lord healed and helped. He's the only one who is named Bartimaeus. We know him, son of Timaeus. He was blind, Bartimaeus. And although he had no good eyes, he did have two good ears, and he heard the commotion that was going on round about him. But also he had not only good ear, but he also had a very retentive memory, because he remembered the things that were told him about the Lord Jesus, and when he heard that the Lord was close by, he made that deliberate intent to seek intervention by the Lord for his own healing and helping. Well, coming back then, the devil's interest and activity in our lives, it can be so often very, very sustained over a long, long time, and it can be sustained with a degree of intensity that leaves us battered with wave upon wave bearing down upon us. And sometimes when we're in that kind of situation, even the best can become weary. How then are we going to survive in this kind of spiritual warfare? We have, and we have it set out in our theology and in our teaching, the preservation of the saints. We've been singing there, we've been reading there, portions and texts which bring that truth home to us. That indeed, there is no doubt about the ultimate survival and the ultimate bringing to glory of God's people. But as we go along the road to glory, we do have problems we've got to confront and to overcome. The preservation of the saints doesn't promise us that we will be protected from troubles and difficulties. In fact, we know that as soon as we take up the name of Christ, the problems and difficulties that are the common lot of men are only multiplied to us because of our stance for the Lord. No, we're not promised any green channel of protection from trouble. But what we are promised is survival and safety while we're going in and through troubles. And that is only because our hope is in our God, and He is an anchor for our soul, not a thin thread that can easily snap, but an anchor that will take the strain of anything that life might have for us or throw at us. We can surmount any pressure, solve any problem. We have the assurance that we can stay safe in a dangerous and a hostile environment. That's what this psalm is speaking about. And wave after wave in these 16 verses, there are brought for us the teachings of the way in which the Lord has committed Himself to the survival, the good, and the well-being of the church and of all of His people. We need to therefore realize the position that we are in. We must realize who we are and all that that implies. That is, after all, what John was doing when he was writing his letter to this readers way back then, first century. When he spoke in 1 John 3, "Behold what kind of people we are." What are we? We are the ones on whom the Lord has lavished His love. We need to therefore remember that we are sons, daughters of God, adopted by Him, brought into His family, with all that that implies and brings to us. Go back to Isaiah chapter 43, and again, what we were saying there just a moment ago, surely it comes out, a very familiar passage, but the emphasis that it now brings before us in this particular area of realizing a position. But now, thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. We are His. We are precious in His sight. There in verse 2, it brings home exactly what we were saying a moment ago. We're not given a green channel. But we are told that whenever we're going through any of the troubles and the difficulties of life, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Why is all that assured to God's people? For I am the Lord thy God, the one who ransomed you, brought you out of Egypt. We have no assurance of going around the water. We only have the assurance of safety through the waters. These are times that are spoken of there in Isaiah 53, times of discovery as well as times of testing. Times of testing, yes, but in the time of testing we discover about ourselves, but also we discover about our Lord. We discover something very precious about what He is to us and what He provides for us and gives us. When we're going through these times of troubles, we find out something about our God that perhaps we wouldn't be able to find out in any other way. Or at least, we could say, not as precious to us in any other way. The protection of the church. We are on His hands. I have graven you on the palms of my hands. We read there in John 10, we are in His hands. We go back to Deuteronomy chapter 33, and we're told that underneath are the everlasting arms. When you go to Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6, we have there that God says He will deliver His people with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm. A description that is very vivid and picturesque of the strength of God committed to the safety of His people. And if you take that little image and thumbnail sketch given in Exodus 6:6 and go through the next few chapters in Exodus and Deuteronomy, you'll find that it's a recurring theme and description of the way in which God has committed Himself to His people to keep them safe, no matter what comes upon them. He is the one who will keep His people safe. He did so. There was a wall of fire round about them to protect them and preserve them. No one was able to go near God's people to disturb them and to rob them. He kept them safe when they walked through the wilderness. He fed them. He provided for them. At the very end, when they were coming into the land that the Lord had promised, what was it they were able to say? The same shoes, the same clothes on our back. God has kept us. God has preserved us. God protects His people. The church's survival is guaranteed no matter what the future may hold for us or what surprises might be waiting around the corner for us. We all know, and it's the image that's at the back and behind some of the verses in Psalm 91, but we all know when danger threatens, whenever an animal is spooked, the bird goes back to the nest. The fox returns to the den. The rabbit dives for the burrow. When danger threatens the Christian and the Christian is spooked, what do? We flee to the eternal God, for He is our refuge, our fortress, our high tower. There are so many recurring descriptive themes given to us. He is a sun, he is a shield. God is the one who will preserve and keep us. There is no human defense that will make us more secure than when God protects us with all of his resources deployed around us. So therefore, we've got to realize our position. The figure given of a farmyard and a brooding hen. The first sign of danger, the chicken is spooked and runs underneath the wings of the hen. That image conveys safety, comfort. That's true of the Christian also. Not on a physical level, but on a spiritual level. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 6 and 17, and Elisha and his servant were there in Dothan, and the Syrian army were coming against them, and the way in which the servant's a familiar passage, we know it already, but the servant went out in the morning, and he lifted his eyes, and he saw the army of the Syrians round about. And he was intimidated and he was afraid. And Elisha prayed that the Lord would open his eyes that he might see. And he saw a far greater army round about intervene between Elisha and the Syrians. The army of the Lord preserving and keeping his people. We can learn from that surely this. Sometimes immediate circumstances. Sometimes immediate circumstances cloud our vision. Sometimes they cramp our faith in its exercise. And these things produce a degree of fear, if not anxiety, within us. And what we need to do is we need to regain the wider perspective. We need to see things in the broadest dimensions. We need to see ourselves like this verse 1 tells us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When we're in that secret place, when we're underneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are close to our Lord, dwelling in that secret place, then we are truly safe. Times we forget that perhaps. And we can be so busy and we can be so taken up the pressures of life. We're living in a society which is going at a faster and faster rate of knots. And sometimes, like tonight, it's good for us simply to stop and to park the world for a while and to think of the things that are good for our soul. Busy running here, there and everywhere, captivated by the immediate. And when we do that, we can be shaken just like the servant was. And the Lord tells us, we sang Psalm 46, the beginning of it, consistent with our study tonight, but towards the end of that same Psalm 46, God says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. We are in Jesus Christ. That is our position. And we need to realize the full privilege, the extent of the inheritance, the range of commitment, everything that is ours from that position of being in Christ. You may have heard the illustration, I think I've used it before, of an old gardener who lived in a shed at the bottom of a great mansion. He was tending the gardens for that in that mansion, and the master of the mansion died, and he left everything to the gardener. But the gardener continued to live in the shed. He didn't appreciate, he didn't take on board the position he now had. He could live in the big house. He still lived in the shed. A danger for ourselves when we see the great promises the Lord has given and made for his people. the length and the extent to which he has gone, the way in which he has made promises available to us that sometimes take our breath away. The position we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We surely have got to realize it. Think about it. As we were talking there a moment about the exercise of the mind, get these truths in our mind. Think of them. Throw them over. Look at them and apply them. The position that we are in. We are in Christ. We are under the shadow of the Almighty. We are in the secret place of the Most High. And if we are in that position, the second thing I want us to think about here is the protection that that gives us. Dangers come from so many different sources. But oftentimes, whenever danger threatens, it produces a variety of emotions and experiences. Panic, unsettling us, anxiety. Sometimes it can paralyze us. We're not all that far away from the behavior of that servant of Elisha when he came out and saw the Assyrian army arranging around the hills. That's the very thing that earlier on in Psalm 37, the psalmist brings before us. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." You've got a problem with providence, and you've got a problem reading how things are distributed in life. You've got a problem producing fretting and anxiety. And there we have it. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Isaiah 26, the Lord shall keep his people in perfect peace, whose hope is stayed on him. Trusting in the Lord, realizing the position we're in, brings protection to us, scattering that anxiety and that worry, giving us rest and peace, no matter what chaos might be round about us, because God knows every little detail about your life and mine. God knows every single thing about our lives where we are. God knows. And there is nothing that he will withhold from us as we seek to live uprightly, honestly before him. Danger comes, yes. Particularly, danger comes when things are maybe going hard for us. Things aren't working out just as we would want them or look for them to work out. Times generally of adversity, of want or of need. Times when things are tight with us. We can use different words, but we can all fit in our own experiences. And for the whole variety of experience, there is one biblical and simple corrective. Simple words, but perhaps a whole lot harder to put into effect. Right at the very end of Habakkuk, at chapter 3, verse 17, there is Habakkuk, and he's looking around him, and the cupboard is bare, and there's no grain, there's no cattle. Things are going hard for him. Things are difficult for him. But no matter how things are difficult for him, he says, "This I will do. I will trust in the Lord God." Because why? Because God is his protection and his satisfaction. And there we have a principle that we can use and apply, not just simply on that particular specific circumstance, but apply it all day, every day. No matter what dangers surround us, and they're so varied, we can constantly look to and trust in our God, and he will keep us safe. Whenever we're aware of dangers for ourselves, or when we see dangers threatening our own families, we see those who do not know the Lord day after day, and they're living only for the world because that's all that they know. and we see the danger of that kind of lifestyle, surely we can seek and we can call down God's protection upon them, asking that the Lord would keep them safe and that the Lord would bring them to know Himself. Danger and the consequent preservation and protection we look for. But perhaps especially that danger comes and the need for protection is felt whenever we're engaged in some kind of public work or duty. When we're in the public eye, I don't mean just minister, but any one of us, whatever place our work takes us to, there people look upon us and look at us and they say, well, so and so is a Christian. Let's see how they behave in this circumstance, coping with this danger. The path of duty that we are called upon to walk, and that's when the devil will set the snares and the traps to trip us up, because if he's able to pull us down, then the public eye will ensure that the name of the Lord is rubbished. We need to look to the Lord, therefore, to keep us safe. The story is told about Charles Spurgeon. In 1854, there was a cholera break out in London, and he was visiting and going round in an unusual demand laid upon him, going round to those people who were in need. And he was weary, and he was worn, and the devil was using the circumstance against him. Here he was in the public eye. Here he was going around doing good. But there was always at the back of his mind, again, we're talking about the front door and the back door of the mind, there was the devil throwing something into his back door of his mind. There was that nagging fear. Will I go the same way as all these others? He was ministering to those who were afflicted with cholera. The great danger was that he would get the cholera himself. And there was always that danger nagging and nagging and nagging away at him. And then one day he was coming home. And in these days, we don't have it now, but in these days you would have a window display. And in the midst of the window there would be just simply an open Bible. And there was an open Bible in a window he was coming past. And verse 9 was highlighted in that Bible. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Because you've done that, verse 10 gives us the conclusion. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. It uplifted him and it refreshed him. His security in his God, protecting him, preserving him. As we therefore trust in the Lord, so we shall have that same protection ourselves. The Lord gives peace to his own, and nothing but nobody will touch or rob us of that peace. The peace of God, Paul speaks of and writes of in Philippians 4:6-7. The peace of God is, and the figure and the image that he creates is of a guard that is deployed round about the Christian, protecting us and preserving us. Protection for God's people. He has committed himself in his grace and in his mercy. He has committed himself to keeping safe his own. We are allowed to drop in and listen to our Lord in that great prayer, high priestly prayer of John 17. And in verse 11 he says something which we can all hold on to and cling tightly with. The Lord kept his own people safe while he was with them. But when he went and when he was leaving them, What does he do? But he commits the safety of those that are his to the hands of his Father. We are privileged to hear that prayer. It brings comfort to us. There is deployed about us nothing less, nothing short than the resources of heaven itself to keep us safe. There are times when we feel and we think that we're walking alone and are isolated, until we read something like John 17:11, until we go back to the experience of Elisha's servant in 2 Kings 6. We are not alone. We are protected. We are safe. In the midst of all kind of temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is always a way of escape. In every kind of need, Hebrews 4:15, Hebrews 13:5, God will provide for us. No matter what danger lurks, and however big it might rise up to confront us, we have this assurance: we are safe. But there must always be that personal commitment. This psalm speaks about God's commitment to us. But notice the way in which there is also to be, and there must be, that commit on ourselves to him. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. It is one thing to say the Lord is a refuge, but that is poor comfort to those who are in need. We must enter into that truth and into that experience ourselves. We must make it personal. We must keep on committing ourselves to the Lord. We must keep on walking his path. We must keep on relying and resting on him, that we are able to say, he is my refuge, my fortress. Other people today, they're not backward. People are not backward at telling us about their opinions, their doubts, their denials. People are not backward about telling us their view upon our God. Well, let us then, with equal commitment and forthrightness, let us tell others what God means and who God is to us. He is my Lord, my God. And as we go through this chapter, we can take it, dissect it, we can apply it to ourselves. We can see so much of the way in which the Lord keeps us safe, keeps safe his own people. There is indeed a great comfort for those who are the Lord's, but there is that comfort only to those that are his. There must be that personal interest and commitment on our part to him. My Lord, my God. If that's what we can say in that position, then we have this great privilege of his protection deployed about us. We can take so many texts as we close. Think of what the Lord says to Peter: I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No matter, try its worst, no matter what device, no matter how complex the temptation, no matter how long the tactic might be or the strategy is, whatever device the devil might think of, none of it will work. The gates of hell shall not frustrate, thwart, or destroy the church the Lord Jesus Christ is establishing. Or again, we were reading there in John 10:28, where the Lord says that every one of his people are where? They are in his hand. And nothing and nobody will remove them from him. If you go back to these few verses that we read, you find that in the Authorized Version, at least, man is in italics. And that's simply because we think only of one particular avenue of attack, one particular avenue of threat that man might try to thwart or to prise open the fingers and to take away any one of the Lord's people. But that's not the thrust of Scripture. The thrust of Scripture is comprehensive. Go back again to the closing few verses of Romans 8, where Paul is there in his broadest of sweeps, taking in every range of opposition that there is against the Christian. And he says, can life, death, principalities, powers, none of these things will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Yes, we can feel vulnerable and alone, even afraid. Yes, we can be conscious of all and much that is ranged against us. But we've also got to remember our position. Behold, John drawing attention to it. Look at you. Look at you. Who are you? You are children of the Most High God. And let that truth soak in and apply it to our lives. Because it brings with it not only comfort, but it brings protection, no matter what is ranged against us. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, again we come before Thee and we seek to be at peace, to be quiet and to be stilled, because there is so much turmoil and chaos round about us that sometimes can infect our soul. And we pray therefore, our Lord, that we might, for these moments, take the truth of the Scriptures, think them through, and apply them to ourselves where we are. And we ask of Thee, our Lord and our God, that we might be at peace tonight, because we have been in the presence of our God. Pardon us our sins and our faults and our failings, especially in holy duties and privileges. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.